is college basketball analyst, creator of Chad Ford's Big Board newsletter and podcast. He is Chad Ford, and he joins us here on Overdrive. How you doing, Chad?
Good, good. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. We're still trying to digest what happened last night. And Scotty Barnes was not a reach by any means. I mean, Scotty Barnes was a guy that was going to go somewhere between 4 and 7. But up here, everyone's looking at it thinking, Suggs. What do you make of the Raptors taking Barnes at 4?
I loved it. I'd been reporting really since the lottery that this was a strong possibility. And I think that for the average fan, you see Jalen Suggs and what he does at Gonzaga all year and the big shot that he hits in the NCAA tournament and all of that stuff. And it just all comes together like this is the no-brainer pick. Meanwhile, Scotty Barnes is coming off the bench as a 6'8 strange point guard at Florida State, doesn't have that exposure that Jalen Suggs does. And I get all of that. But in the NBA, when you have a guy that is 6'8 with a 7'3 wingspan that legitimately, because he did it in college, can guard positions 1 through 5, has a point guard mentality in the way that he approaches the game, has the athleticism that Scotty Barnes does, those guys just don't come along very often. They are unicorns in the NBA. And he has weaknesses. He's not a great shooter. But, you know, it's interesting. I didn't really hear anybody in Toronto or anywhere else complain about the fact that that Jalen Suggs was also a very streaky shooter at Gonzaga and was not a great shooter in high school. There's some concerns with Scotty Barnes, but the upside, in my opinion, was as high as anybody in this draft. Mm. And I don't think Masai wants to be in the lottery a lot. I don't think that's his goal. And so if you're up here at 4 and you're able to draft a guy that, frankly, on pure upside, I'm not saying he's as good as these players, but pure upside could be the best player in this draft, you take that swing.
Do you think his upside was higher in the end than Suggs? Ceiling, I guess, better word?
Oh, yeah, absolutely his ceiling's higher than Suggs. Now, here's the other side of it. The other argument is Suggs' 4 is higher than Scotty Barnes's. Hmm. I think Suggs is going to be a fantastic player. I would have been fine if the Raptors would have drafted him at 4, but I definitely think, again, I don't think the Raptors have any designs right now to be like Oklahoma City and, you know, sit in the and try to win the number one pick over the next 2 or 3 years and load up on high lottery picks. You're here once, try to take the guy that could be, you know, a 5-time All-Star someday, and you take the risk. It's a risk. But, you know, I've known Masai a long time, you know, back when he was a scout in the NBA. And the thing that I'll say about him was he was never afraid to take risks. He believes in himself, believes in his scouting, and he saw what a lot of other NBA teams saw. He was not alone in having Scotty Barnes 4 on his board, and some teams had him at 3.
Wow, that's interesting. We're chatting with Chad Ford, and that's what people want to hear. I mean, this is a Raptors team that's not been in this position for a long time, Chad, as you know. I mean, the last time they picked 4th overall was the Bosch draft in 03. The last time they picked this high was when they took Bargnani. So it's, I guess from that standpoint, there's some pressure that comes with it because it's uncharted territory. But also when you consider where the team is, where I think they're hoping to reset, they're going to have some movement over the course of the offseason, but the hope is they can get back into a playoff picture next year. Can you see Scotty Barnes factoring in to this upcoming season at all for the Raptors?
I think so. I don't think they drafted him at 4 to send him to the G League and not have him be part of his, you know, part of this team. And I think he'll be able to play right now defensively. I mean, the one hardest thing for rookies is that they usually get torched on the defensive end. It's a big, big upgrade. But I really think Scotty Barnes is one of the 2 or 3 best defenders in this draft. He has all the physical tools to do it. He has the intelligence to be able to do it. And I think that he'll be able to stay on the floor. I think what Raptors fans are going to have to be patient with is figuring out the offense stuff for him. I think that is going to take longer. I think it's going to be partly what the Raptors decide to do with him. You know, the blessing of having a guy who can play 5 positions on offense and defense is the versatility. The curse is at some point you got to develop them. And how are you going to develop them? And what particular skills are you going to ask them to use? And I think the Raptors are going to have to work with him to decide how are we going to deploy you? Are we going to use you as a point guard? He played point guard at Florida State. I know everybody says 6'8", 7'3", wingspan. He's not a point guard. He absolutely could be a starting point guard in the NBA. But that's not the only position he could play. And so you might decide you want to use him as a wing. You might decide you even want to use him as a power forward in the NBA. He could do all of those things. And so I think that that is the thing that you're going to have to develop. You're going to have to work on. The jump shot's going to take some work. It's not there yet. But he's a hard worker. The Florida State staff raved about this young man and who he was as a person. His teammates raved about him. He's got an infectious personality. He's both a winner but an optimist, just a happy guy to be around. I think Raptors fans are going to fall in love with him.
Chad, you mentioned the jump shot. Where do you stand on teams that say, we can teach that? Like, we can develop that. And obviously, we've seen it in Toronto. Like, do you think that's a reasonable assumption to make, that that's something you can push along to a viable level?
Yeah, absolutely. Does it work every time? No. There's some players that never get it. And in a few weird cases, like Ben Simmons, there's almost like a regression. Ben Simmons almost seems worse now. And I think there is some psychology to shooting, and that's part of it as well. But Scotty wasn't a bad shooter in high school. He wasn't a very good shooter at Florida State. He didn't take a lot of jump shots, but when he did, they weren't great. And I absolutely think that if you look over the history of prospects, that is something that you can teach. You can't teach 6'8", 7'3", wingspan, the athleticism to guard all those positions, the ability to see the game and feel the game the way Scotty Barnes. Shooting you can teach. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that he's going to be a lights-out shooter. I know the Raptors will work on it. They have a great development. But if Scotty Barnes can't shoot, let's say that he is a career 27 or 28% three-point shooter, he is still going to be a valuable player in this league because of his ability to defend all those positions and how switchable he is, the ball handler, the creator, all of that other stuff. The game is not just about shooting or scoring. But if he gets up to 34, 35, 36% three-point shooting, that's when you start talking about that scary high ceiling that Scotty Barnes has, where people are going to be looking at this draft like the Giannis draft and saying, oh my gosh, how did this guy slide to four?
We're chatting with Chad Ford, college basketball analyst, creator of Chad Ford's Big Board newsletter and podcast. The Raptors with a couple of picks in the second round, and at that point, you know, when you get to the second round, you're looking for diamonds in the rough, or certainly guys that are going to take some time to develop. Delano Banton is a Toronto kid, big, lanky guard out of Nebraska. I'd ask you if you like the pick, but once you get into the second round, I'm sure it's difficult to really pin it down in terms of who's going to take what or who should be taking what. But what do you make of him as a player and how he could fit into this system in the future?
Well, it's interesting because he drafted another big 6'8", 6'9", point guard who can't shoot, right? Like, that's part of the take. They have a different body, and they are different players. And there's a reason that Scotty Barnes is 4 and he was 46 in the draft. But I think it's, to me, another classic Raptors. There's a lot of upside in this kid. You can't help but watch him in Nebraska and say, wow, if this kid ever figures it out, he could be a big-time player in the NBA. There's a reason he falls to 46, because he's 21, 22 years old now, and he still hasn't figured it out. So this isn't a 19-year-old that hasn't figured it out. He's older. And so you gamble at 47. It's not a big gamble, and see if you can develop him.
Well, also on top of that, I guess they pick they go back-to-back. They take David Johnson. Would you have a similar kind of breakdown of that pick and what he brings to the table?
Mm-hmm. David Johnson was considered a potential late lottery pick at the start of the season after a really successful freshman year at Louisville. And, you know, one of the interesting things was the feedback that he got from scouts. He decided not to go into the draft. Was they said, you needed to improve your three-point shot and you need to cut down on turnovers. He's actually really interesting, again, gifted ball handler, passer, but he was also wild. He had a very high assist-to-turnover. The assist-to-turnover ratio was a little bit underwater for David Johnson. He would make a brilliant pass and then one that would just make you cringe. And he did that. He actually went back. He cut down on his turnovers. He played more under control. He increased his three-point shooting percentage. But what happened is when they got Carlick Jones at Louisville, they switched him off the ball from a point guard to kind of a two guard. He was clearly less comfortable in that role, kind of got a little bit passive. And I think it just sort of turned teams off a little bit because I'm not sure they ever totally believed he was a point guard in the first place. And so it's kind of seeing him off the ball, I scared him away. But he's an excellent athlete. He's very skilled. He did improve his shooting from the year to next. And, you know, I don't know what he does with all these big point guards. You know, I mean, he kind of drafted three big point guards is kind of what he did, but mm-hmm. some are bigger than others. I'm not sure how they all fit together, but this was absolutely, to me, good value at 47, considering that he started this season, you know, at 15 or 16, you know, on boards. And actually, it wasn't like he played terribly. He actually did some of the stuff that scouts wanted him to do.
Chad, speaking of big point guards, because you would have seen him, obviously, and you mentioned him at LSU, where are you on Ben Simmons? Like, we've been talking about him all week. Like, are you still in on the potential, or are you kind of like, I don't know that this can be turned around?
Well, I'm of two minds with Ben Simmons. I saw his game fall apart in the playoffs, and like everybody else, it's hard to not look at that and say he was almost virtually unplayable in the fourth quarter, and that's a problem. It also seemed to me to be as much mental as it was anything else. This is a three-time All-Star. This is somebody who was runner-up in the Defensive Player of the Year. This is not a scrub. You know, Ben Simmons isn't a bust as the number one pick. He's already made multiple All-Star teams. He's already one of the best five defenders in the NBA. Something was going on psychologically. It happens to players from time to time. I don't know what the backstory is. And, you know, it clearly probably a change of scenery or change of something needs to happen for Ben Simmons. I will also say that if there's a knock against Simmons, from what I've heard from folks, is that maybe he isn't as driven as some of the other prospects to improve that game. The great ones are in the gym the day the season's over, thinking about how they get better, how they improve their weaknesses so that they can win a championship. And I think there's been some frustration in Philly that hasn't been Ben Simmons. That's not how he's approached the game. So all of that tells me, okay, this is complicated. First of all, with Ben Simmons, don't look at the next big point guard and say, oh, that's going to be Ben Simmons. The same thing's going to happen to Scottie Barnes. That happens to Ben Simmons. Personality, totally different. The way that they play the game, approach the game, different. They are big, athletic point guards. That is the same. And they struggle to shoot. That is true. But, you know, you watch Ben Simmons at LSU and you watch Scottie Barnes at Florida State and you get a very different feeling watching each of those players. And the one thing about Scottie Barnes is he has joy playing the game. And that's the thing that I've always worried about Ben Simmons. Does he have joy? Now, maybe he's just a stoic dude and maybe inside he's feeling lots of joy. But if he is, man, I've never seen it.
Yeah, that has to be concerning in Philly. That might explain why he's on the table. And whoever gets him will look past that, I'm sure. Check out the Chad Ford's Big Board newsletter and podcast. He is college basketball analyst Chad Ford. I really appreciate the breakdown and the analysis, Chad. Great stuff leading up to the draft, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
All right, take care, guys.
There he is, Chad Ford. That's something that is difficult to define, right? Like, someone's passion for the sport, how much fun they have, how much they love it, how committed they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complete intangible. It's impossible to put your finger on it.
And it's so hard to judge. Like, because they show it, we think it's true. And if they don't show it, it's not. You know what I mean? We have this issue with Nylander. Or we did.
Yeah, we did. I think Willie's answered a lot of questions recently. Yeah, he had a great playoff and... Willie's not even on anyone's radar. Like,
no,
it's all good with Willie, as it should be at this point. But yeah, it's very difficult to analyze. It's very difficult to get a read on it. But those that are around him would have the better read on him, right? And I think that maybe can be the explanation as to why a lot of deals happen when you get caught off guard. Like, why did that guy go? And even last night, like, not even about Suggs. But if Barnes has such an infectious personality and you pick up on his passion for the sport, his work ethic, and his attitude, that is worth a lot. You know, it is worth a lot. Because it's something you're trying to project. Is he still going to love it in 5 years, in 10 years? I guess you won't know until you get there. But it's guesswork, and you got to put your best, guess into it and hope you hit. So thanks to Jay Billis earlier this afternoon, Chad Ford. We've covered the NBA draft extensively today.